Little OAR to get us going on a Tuesday morning. That means you get to hear from the one and only Eric Nathan Barstool Nate, Little Nate X, Nate Diggity Dog. What up, man? How are you, buddy?
My friends, if you recall, a week ago, the last thing I said to you on the phone was, I will talk to you guys next after another Commanders playoff victory, and here we are. Let's give it up for our beloved Washington Commanders.
It's are you hitting your desk? What is that noise?
I am. That was me clapping.
Okay. This run has been really, really special. You know, just to break the playoff drought in Tampa meant a lot. But then to go to Detroit and just take it to the Lions, who had been really good all year, kind of changes the tone with which I think outsiders will discuss
the situation. Let me stop you there, JP.
Sure.
Let me stop you real quick. We outcoached them, outplayed them, out everything them on
Took
the road.
Yeah.
We absolutely pile drove them through the mat. There was no nonsense. There was no will we. It was we imposed our will against this team that everybody thought was untouchable, 8.5-point favorites, you know, the crowd noise, the we'll run right through them, two wide receivers, 1,000 yards, we don't have a secondary, blah, blah, blah. We heard it all, and none of that mattered. None of it mattered. And we've been saying on this show since like week 5 that with a healthy Jaden, we can beat any team in the NFL on any given week. I've been saying that all season long, and it's been true all season long. This team is special. Jaden is special. And what's crazy, I mean, right now at 11:06 a.m., they're preparing for the NFC Championship game in year one of, I keep saying rebuild, I keep forgetting it's a recalibration. That's my bad.
Yeah, get that
but
right.
In year one of the recalibration, we are in the NFC Championship game. This team that we have, I mean, I've been coming on this show for 5 years, and this time we're always talking about draft picks and the next scandal and the front office leaks and this and that. It's over. We're the real deal. We have a franchise quarterback, and we're one game from the Super Bowl. This is all incredible, and I could talk about this for 8 hours, how sick it is.
It's you're like the win in Detroit was special because it gets you to an NFC title game. It's special to knock off the one seed, but more than anything, what impressed me is Dan Quinn did a media avail on Sunday, and I asked him, like, dude, all your wins have been really close. What was different in this that you were able to kick their ass? And he said, you know, he said he told the guys Friday night that they were going to have a lead, and it was all about how they finished. And
yep.
Damn, did they finish, man. The mojo running through this city right now is outrageous.
And you know what I loved about that? Foot on the gas the entire time. No, not sitting back and prevent, not run, punt. It was foot on the gas, pedal to the metal. I mean, outscoring the Lions in the fourth quarter, 14-3, that kind of proves the entire point is did not relent, did not give up. It's just put the ball in Jaden's hand, and as we've been saying, just watch him cook. And that's exactly what he did. And then this defense, these key turnovers and takeaways, Goff throwing 3 picks is just so timely. And that's what they've done all season is capitalize on, you know, these opportunities that the opponent gives us. A little fumble here, go down the field for a touchdown. Interception there, go down the field for the touchdown. And then people want to say, well, if not for 2 or 3 plays, you know, the Commanders would have, but we take advantage of those 2 or 3 plays. That's the difference. Yeah. And they've done it all season long. And I, you know, one game away from the Super Bowl, let's just do it again.
Jim, it's just how you look at those plays. If not for us making those plays happen, then Detroit could have been great. But they're not. When I walked in that stadium, I'm going to tell you, I felt a lot of arrogance. I felt a lot of people that just dismissed this team. But I always said, Terry McLaurin, I know Jaden is leading the way, but Terry McLaurin, watch him and watch the sideline, watch the team. That dude that doesn't say much at all, but just takes everything in and he lets it come out in his play, he's the spark plug of that football team.
Yeah, I think they should name – this is not a joke. This is not a bit, JP. They should not sell naming rights to the new stadium. It should be Terry McLaurin Field. He deserves everything and more. I keep saying this. He stuck by this team through the worst of times, signed an extension when he did not have to, and then all he does in the offseason is just, like, donate to charity and volunteer in the community and all of that. He has made this franchise and this place his home, and now he is just thriving on the national stage with a quarterback and a head coach, an offensive coordinator, a GM, and an owner who all love him and believe in him, and a fan base who worships him as a football player. The stadium should be built in his name and his honor, and I cannot say enough good things about that man.
Talking with our friend Barstool Nate here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV.
Yep.
Nate, obviously that game was just so incredible, and you're talking about your foot on the gas. To me, the moment that really stands out as an example of that, they had 4th and 2 from the Lions 13, and they were up 10. Field goal there is pretty damn enticing. And he went for it. Jaden found Terry for the 10, 11-yard gain. McNichols busts in for a touchdown right after that.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you're up 17. Like, it.
People were getting mad, like, against Tampa. Whoa, why is he going for it? I was getting all kind of tweets. They've been aggressive all year. Why the hell get here and stop?
Totally. Consistent. What I've said all year is I want him to be consistent. Consistently aggressive, whatever it is, just stay with it. And then the team buys in. You don't get them all the time. Their first drive of the game was a pretty good drive. They didn't get it, but because it was consistently how they approached it, it didn't impact anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And credit to Cliff. The second half, Cliff off the cliff, whatever that narrative was. Cliff outcoached Ben Johnson. He ran laps around him, and that 4th and 1 early in the game with Mariota, and it was that weird botched play, it did not deter him at all. He kept to the game plan. He kept the foot on the gas. He kept it going. It was just a perfectly called game, more or less. You know, it was just outstanding on the road, national stage. I hopefully, you know, Jacksonville goes another way and the Jets go another way and this and that. I want Cliff to get the bag in Washington to coach this offense and Jaden for as long as he can. I need something bad to come out in the press about him that other teams don't want him. I don't know. I might start leaking
stuff
because I need this guy. I need this guy in Washington.
Dude, here's what's going to help you. So Ben Johnson took the Bears job. Sure seems like Aaron Glenn's going to get this Jets job.
Yep.
Because, and it's admirable, but because Cliff has said he's not going to do interviews until the season's over, it's quite possible that, I mean, how many jobs were there? 5? Now one is gone. Sounds like the Jets might be gone soon. So that leaves Raiders, Cowboys, Saints. Like it seems like Mike McCarthy might get one of those. Like it's possible there's no chairs left. And if that's the case, I think it's because Cliff chose that path and didn't really feel like dealing with it. So I don't think you need to worry too much, man.
And I love him for doing that. I think it's a little overblown, but Lions fans are going crazy about both of their coordinators interviewing during the week of the playoff game. They're putting a lot of blame on Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn for interviewing for other jobs instead of preparing. I don't know. Like you can take an hour
before the game, they were bragging about everybody want their guys because they're so good.
Right.
And
right.
Now they're making an excuse. What they need to do is just stay where they were in the dumps. That's what they are. Losers.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, with them.
I agree.
So now, Nate, we turn our focus to Philadelphia. Barstool Nate joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. You can give Nate Dogg a follow at Barstool Nate. They split with Philadelphia. This is the rubber match. Both teams have won at home. There are some clear advantages for Philly. Their roster's loaded. They're both offensive and defensive lines are loaded. But, you know, we said it last week. They're good, but Washington's good too. How you feeling about the Eagles matchup?
I'll say this, there was a lot clearer of a road to victory over the Lions than the Eagles. The Lions had the defense over the last 5 weeks for the Lions was 29th in the league. They were bad against scrambling quarterbacks. They got no pressure on the quarterback. And all that worked in our favor. They stuck to the game plan 100% and destroyed the Lions doing exactly that. The Eagles have the number one defense in the league. They have a top 10 offense in the league. They are, you know, Saquon is extremely good. We know this. And our run defense is not very good. We know this. I think the key to victory is, I keep saying it, 10 yard them to death. Time of possession, time of possession, time of possession. 10 yards at a time, long drives, 10-minute drives, march down the field, and just don't let the Eagles' offense get on the field at all. You know, limit turnovers on offense. Try to force Jalen to throw the ball. We know he's not 100% healthy, and we know that is his weakness, is having to throw the ball downfield. So, you know, just don't let them run the ball. Get up early in points and try to just force them to make mistakes on offense, I think, is the way to victory here. It's going to be a tougher game than the Detroit game, but there's no reason to doubt Jaden. There's absolutely no reason to doubt this team at this point. They've gotten this far. If you look up the Commanders right now, there's a thing next to their name that says 14-5. It's absolutely, or not 14-5, but it is absolutely incredible what we're able to do, and there's no point of doubting them now.
Oh, yeah, I'm with that.
I agree with you. Washington was able to get the run game going last week against the Lions. Do you think that was run games? Do you think that was Lions defense specific, or maybe they found their mojo on the ground again?
It was great to get some push on that offensive line, right? Like watching B-Rob break a couple runs felt really, really good. I think it's a combination of both. We need our run game to work better than it has. I think the Detroit game gave a little bit of promise there. The Eagles have dogs up front, though. We know this. We know how good both sides of the line of scrimmage are for the Eagles. We played against them twice. We split. But we saw it, you know, with our own eyes. Like, they are tough up front. We saw them in the snow game this last weekend, how tough they are up front. And I don't expect them to slow down. It's going to be cold but not snowy, and they're going to be inside that loud stadium with the home field advantage. So I honestly just, I'm going to keep saying it. We have to just stick to what's worked, is taking advantage of turnovers, forcing them to make mistakes, and watching Jaden milk the clock. Just go up and down the field, just picking his spots, being 100% accurate, and getting everybody involved, and you can win this game.
And the temperature's supposed to be, what, 40-some degrees, it says?
40 at kickoff. Yeah, it'll probably get a little colder as the night goes down, as the sun goes down. You know, Nate, what I thought was really interesting is early on, Detroit was kind of playing that soft zone, and then they switched it up and started playing some pretty aggressive, trying to go get Jaden, especially as they got down in that game. Specific to Kliff and then specific to Jaden, I thought they had every answer to what Detroit was trying to throw at them. Does that change against a Philly roster that has a lot more pieces?
Of course it changes, but we are extremely lucky that, as far as we know, it doesn't phase Jaden at all. Like, he adapts so well to all the looks that are thrown at him. And I think the Eagles will get to him more than the Lions did. I think that's a no-brainer. And you just adapt from there. Maybe you get Eckler more involved. We saw how good Eckler looked this last week. I want him way more involved. Quick passes, get the ball out, and make the Eagles' defense get on their heels. And I think that's what we're best at, is flipping the script like that. Say, hey, no, Jaden doesn't get on his heels. He puts you on yours. Mm-hmm. And you just flip the script, and you just make them panic. And then at that point, if you just establish that screen game and that run game, then you can get the ball down the field. I mean, there are obvious keys and pass to victory here. It's tough, though. I think the Eagles are the toughest opponent we played all season. By when they're healthy, maybe even by far. But again, I mean, I'm really hyped right now on this team, because I know, and we know, that there is a way to win, and we can win this game.
Sure. Defensively, what's that way? One thing that I think is worth pointing out that I've said a few times. Well, dude, in both games against Philly, they didn't have John Allen. And
John played well in the game.
John has played really well against Tampa and Detroit. John came back against Atlanta. I think he's working through the rust. Cowboys game was a little funky. The playoffs, he's been on, and I do think that's a factor in trying to slow Saquon down.
1,000%. He is just such – yeah, he's a great player when he's on the field and healthy as hell. And same with Marshawn Lattimore. I think Lattimore against Detroit – kind of already paid the trade off in spades. Like, he was so good, and he looks to be, if not 100% healthy, at least 90% healthy. And we know the Eagles have some weapons out there, and you know that they can burn you if you're not locked down on them. And I think Marshawn Lattimore is going to be huge, huge, huge on Sunday.
Lattimore, I mean, he played really well in Detroit. He also gives them this level of physicality that is...
He comes up on that edge, man. He doesn't back away.
And Sammer still has it, too. Lattimore's bigger. But the run support from corners like that is a big game changer. Dude, they've been pretty good against Saquon in two games. Like, they've been pretty good. They just, it's the explosives that have killed them. Now, that's been the case with Saquon across the league.
Yeah.
Do you think this time it could be different with Saquon?
It can be, sure. You just don't expect it. I think if there's one player that, you know, you can kind of bank on just having a really good game, no matter who it's against, it's Saquon. He was, you know, he just had a 2,000-yard season. I can't even sit here and try to spin zone it. He's, you know, he's unbelievable. He's just such a good player that you kind of just, you have to take that into account. You know what's coming. You know Saquon is going to burn you for a long run. It's just how good he is. And you just adjust from there. And you just hope that, you know, bend not break defense, call it what you want. But the Saquon factor exists. You have to accept it. And you just have to go from there. I don't really think there's any reason to sit here and think that our defense is going to be the one that will put the clamps on Saquon, but you can definitely contain it.
Yeah. They gave up 41 yards in three quarters. They have capabilities of limiting him. They just got to figure out how to get to it quicker.
Yeah. It's tough. This is a tough matchup. Then I think it's silly to think otherwise. Like, we don't have to lie to ourselves.
I applaud the honesty here. I do. You sound less confident than I've heard you in a long time, bro.
As a ball knower and a guy who's been correct all season about pretty much every game, I have no reason to lie now. I think the Eagles are the toughest team that we've played. And, I mean, what, Saquon went for 150 and 140 against us in the previous two games? He's the real deal, and there's no reason to sit here and say otherwise. And our run defense is not the real deal, and there's no reason to say otherwise about that. Now, can you load the box and force Jalen to throw the ball and, you know, make him make bad decisions? 1,000,000,000%, yes, and I assume that's exactly what they're going to do.
It's going to be fun, man. What else? Caps are still killing it, but I think our Caps talk is a week away.
Yeah.
Maybe more than that away.
Well, if only gets some more goals, we got
one game away from a Super Bowl in year one of the recalibration. It's beyond words. I just, how far this team has come in one season from the top down. It's just so exciting and so impressive. And I'll say this, and I see this on Twitter a bunch. This is the worst team Jaden will ever play with. This roster was not put together to win now, and they're winning now. We have that $100 million in cap room going into the offseason. It's a great time to be us. It's so phenomenal. It's just so exciting, and I can't wait for Sunday. Why not us, right? Why not us?
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you'll be there then, Nate, right? That's a quick train ride.
He hadn't been going, no.
You're not allowed now?
You're going to stay right at home where you always been.
Can't start going now. I'll be Hell in Chicago no. on the stream. Me, PFT, will be in Chicago on the stream.
Oh, that you have been going. Have you gone out there for every playoff game?
Yeah, I'll be in the same seat. Don't worry.
All right. Yeah, man. We've been taking calls. People are very locked into whatever the mojo is that's working. You got to keep it going.
I haven't changed underwear in 2 weeks.
Proud of you, bro.
Now, I believe that. That's what I've been smelling.
Goodbye, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, that's no different, but.
Goodbye.
Love you guys.
Later, man.
That's our friend Barstool Nate. Hasn't changed his drawers in 2 weeks.
Kind of use that word friend a little loosely, huh?
2 weeks, my friend. Have you looked at the spread in this game? And are you aware of what the Giants got in return for losing Saquon Barkley? Let's take a look at those things next. NFL analyst for ESPN. Knows the salary cap stuff really well. And from over the cap, which is kind of the foremost industry expert for salary cap stuff,
mm-hmm.
overthecap.com. Obviously, it hurts that the Giants lost Saquon Barkley, right?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people always love, there's the comp pick police. People always want to talk how you get the compensatory draft pick, which is really
important. I guarantee you that compensatory pick is not damn Saquon Barkley.
Well, not only that, but people say, oh, you get a third-round comp pick. A third-round comp pick is really a fourth-round pick because it's after the end of the third round.
Mm-hmm.
They just jam it in there. So losing Saquon, watching the season he's had in Philly, is bad enough, right?
Yeah.
But Lamphill, at least they'll get a comp pick, right?
They didn't get that too?
Wrong. So the compensatory pick formula. Why, Brian, you listening? I know you're a Giants fan, buddy. The compensatory pick formula is not predicated on anything a player does on the field. It's just based on money in, money out. And so if a free agent leaves and gets a bunch of money, fine. But if you then spend a bunch of money on a different free agent, that's free agency spending. So not only does it appear the Giants will not get a comp pick for losing Saquon Barkley, why, Brian, do you know why they won't get a comp pick for losing Saquon Barkley?
No, but I'm sure it's as stupid as all the decisions they made.
Well, that's I still stick by when this comes out and hits the airwaves and people start looking at Mara may still fire.
Well, at least it's a player that made a huge impact in a positive way on the Giants season.
Who?
Drew Lock. The Giants signed Drew Lock to back up Daniel Jones. They gave him $3 million guarantees. He had a $5 million cap number. And because they signed Drew Lock to a one-year, $5 million deal,
they won't get picked.
And when they benched Daniel Jones, they didn't go to him. They went to DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
In five starts, Drew Lock was 1-4, completed 59% of his passes for 6 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
1-4?
So because of Drew Lock, Brian, you won't get a comp pick for losing Saquon, who, by the way, rushed for 2,000 yards.
They also won't get the number one pick because he decided to throw 5 touchdowns in a game.
Because Drew Lock had one good game, the Giants get the number 3 pick instead of the
AJ,
one pick.
AJ, when I made that comment that I made a while ago, I still believe, and Merrill may come back and say, you know what? I didn't know how stupid y'all were until I got all this information. Bye.
I mean,
How do you survive that?
I don't.
You got rid of the guy who I told you is the most popular guy on my team, and then you lost all this because you signed that dude.
You know how I said there's probably going to be a lot of babies named Jaden in September, about 9 months from now? In the northern New Jersey area, I don't think Drew is going to be a very popular name in nine months.
Nah.
Well, and they're still mad. A couple years ago, last year when Washington got the number 2 pick, it was because they lost to Tommy DeVito.
Yeah.
And they're mad at Tommy Cutlets. The Giants are rudderless. Good luck, White Brian. I mean that.
Thank you.
The spread in this Commanders-Eagles game is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone back up. It has moved fairly substantially over these last few days. I mean, they probably said it Sunday night was the initial.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened, if you go back to Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
It was 4.5. Eagles minus 4.5.
I thought it was higher than that when it first opened.
Then it got to 5.5 Monday morning. Stayed at 5.5. Late last night, it got to 6, and now it's at 6.5, depending where you're shopping.
Well,
ESPN Bet's got it at 6.5.
I don't know.
FanDuel's got it at 6.5.
It's something by the way, the Commanders making a lot of money for Vegas. After they knocked out Detroit, guess what? All those future bets were good because there was a lot of Detroit future bets.
Yeah, I mean, I see that on the surface, and I just say, give me the points. I don't know. This team, by and large, just wins close games. So to me, I find it very hard to believe you don't want to take the points at 6.5.
Yeah.
It is interesting that it's going up. They're kind of tempting. Oh, now, if I may, Daniel just had to.
Yo, Daniel, which one of your cookies you took? You took my cookie?
Landfill.
We're going to fight.
So Daniel, the engineer, just came in to check on something in there. Shout out to Wendy's mom. We love Wendy. Wendy turned us down for her normal Tuesday segment, Wendy Knows Sports.
I don't care because she brought cookies.
But Wendy's mom made us 2 batches of cookies. There's a box for everyone that has gingerbread, snickerdoodle, and then some chocolate vanilla cookies. Then there's another box that says, these are for Mr. Mitchell. He requested these. Maybe he'll share. And B, Lanville, what would you say? He didn't seem that into sharing. I got one.
Lanville had one.
I had one.
Yeah, I didn't know that those were specifically for B-Mitch.
But now
you didn't read the letter on top of it?
Why would I read that? There are cookies. I eat them.
It does say Mr. Mitchell, does it not?
I still haven't read it. And you know what the other thing is? I'm not going to read it.
Daniel, not even included in the other batch, just walked in. It appeared that he touched Lanville's computer for a microsecond and then just helped himself to, I think, two cookies. Is that right, Danny? Just one. B, how would you like to adjudicate this?
I'm going to let him go, but he going to give me a computer.
The computers around here aren't worth a cookie.
No. Not one from around here. I need one from somewhere else. Because if you give me one from around here, it's not going to do me any good.
I will say one of our greatest technological breakthroughs on the B. Mitch and Finley program, and this is a short list, is when we just gave up on these god-awful 1998 webcams and just started
98?
Running.
98? I thought it was 78.
Just started running the stream off our own damn computer. The camera on my laptop is significantly better than that thing that you can buy for $8.99 at Temu.com.
Temu.
Temu, whatever it is. Danny, enjoy the cookie. 6.5, B?
I think that's a stretch.
Lanville had a pointed comment about the 6.5-point spread. We'll get to that. We'll look at kind of where the numbers are, how you can arrive at that, and kind of the one thing that continues to stick with me as we get closer and closer to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Santana Moss is going to join us at noon. Then we're going to have Dave Zangaro from Philly joining us at 1. Also, it's unclear, frankly. Chris Russell was in Detroit. We don't know if he's made it back. We'll all find out together in about an hour. Coaching staff, front office, like, good teams lose, guys.
All the time.
It's a good problem to have.
All the time.
It sure looks like Lance Newmark, assistant general manager of the Washington Commanders, is going to get this head coaching, not head coaching, the general manager job for the New York Jets. It's starting to really sound like the Jets are going to hire Newmark, and then they're going to hire Aaron Glenn from the Lions. Obviously, Newmark and Glenn spent a lot of time together in Detroit. It was kind of wild. I ran into Newmark in the press box at halftime of that Commanders win Saturday night. And so imagine that crazy second quarter had just concluded. And he and I were just chatting for like a very brief second, and I was like, man, can you believe this? He's like, it's crazy. And I was like, it's got to be special for you to do it here, because he worked in Detroit for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And he just smiled and kind of walked. I think it sure seems like it's going to be Aaron Glenn and Lance Newmark. Obviously not ideal, right? That was somebody Adam Peters went and specifically brought to Washington. There's a lot of familiarity there. Newmark worked for Mayhew when Mayhew was in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what's going to happen, dude. Like, when you're good, people hire people away.
Yeah, they don't go to bad teams and try to hire up those coaches. Well, some people do.
Not a done deal yet, but
we've seen it happen here.
We have seen that happen.
And yeah, we beat the team, get them fired, and we hire them.
Right.
That was like under another regime, so we're going to stop worrying about that. Yeah.
That is pretty remarkable that Washington beat the Panthers. Ron got fired, and then they hired Ron like 5 weeks
ago. Yeah.
Like,
it made much sense.
Not only did they hire Ron, but then he just reassembled the entire team up here.
He brought all
basically,
of them.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone that was available, he brought them.
And he inherited a young personnel guy that was pretty good. And then as soon as his contract expired, Ron got him out of there and brought in the rest of the dudes from Carolina.
Yeah, he said, let me find the oldest guys I can. I want to bring them in.
Lanville, what do you think of the Commanders being 6.5-point underdogs this weekend?
I mean, I think it's a little bit absurd. They beat this team a month ago. I think it's totally fair that they should be underdogs, but 6.5 points seems a little bit absurd to me.
Yeah, I agree with that, Lanny.
They beat them a month ago. I mean, am I taking crazy pills here?
Mm-mm. I think what you have to look at, the number is not necessarily put there to make you say, oh, this is exactly what we think. Kind of average out those bets so they don't get killed. That's what I look at.
You think everything would be on Philly right now?
Huh?
You think if it was lower?
I think the fact that you saw how they handled Detroit, you give them 6.5 points, they're going to be those who truly love them, going to say, oh, yeah, we take Philly. And it'll be the rest of the world going, nah, it'll be closer than that. So you will get it kind of split down the middle.
Like, we hear all the conversation about, you know, the haters and nobody believed in us. And that, the Tampa game, I thought it was kind of split. But going to Detroit, I mean, hell, even the people we had on the show, B, I felt like it was just you and I that thought they were going to win in Detroit. I know Rooster didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I did a pregame hit with Denton and Linnell at like 7:30 before an 8 o'clock kick. And they asked me how I thought it was going to go. And I was like, I think they're going to win. And they were just like blown away that I said that. I think Lanfield had them winning. I think White Bryan had Detroit winning because he's largely a hater.
Yeah, he was. But see,
Jeff probably had him winning 65-0.
The first person from Detroit, that guy we had talking on Detroit, he said it's going to either be a blowout. Either way.
Greenberg called his shot.
Greenberg called it, too.
And made a lot of money,
but
I think.
If you had talked, when you saw all the people on TV that was choosing, one person chose us.
Correct. And what is starting to make me a little bit, I don't want to say nervous, but one thing I'm paying attention to, and this could all change, but a lot of people, if you look at the money and the tickets right now on the betting market, which is not necessarily indicative of the fan market, but a lot of the bets, 65% of the bets are going in on the Skins +6, +6.5, whatever it is. But there's way more money going on Philly laying the points, which would suggest that the people that have more cash like Philly, it's an interesting dynamic. It's way too early in the week to be looking at that. It's only Tuesday. But, like, when they put the graphic up, the game this week's on Fox, right? When they put the graphic up on Fox, I think we're going to see a lot more burgundy and gold than we've gotten used to. And maybe that's indicative of, yo, this team is good and the world's realizing it, or people are sleeping on what the Eagles have, too. Because their offenses look bad. If Saquon, they are starting to look like the Yankees in the World Series, when it was Juan Soto could hit and no one else could. Mm-hmm. Like, they desperately needed Aaron Judge. They desperately needed somebody else to make a play and nobody could. Like, Philly right now has Saquon, and that's the list.
Yeah.
Because Jalen can't do anything. The tight end made a couple plays for him, I guess. But they have all these weapons, and nobody's getting it done.
I'll be honest with you, Jay. These people betting, for the most part, most of these people are not going through all those thought processes that you go through. You're a seasoned better. Most people betting today like the team or dislike a team or saw what they did last week and just make a bet this week. They don't think about all that stuff. Vegas thinks about it, but Vegas really want, they'd rather break even than get taken. You know what I mean? So it's, we don't know. That's the ultimate thing. We don't know.
B. Mitch calling me a seasoned better might be the nicest thing he's ever said to me.
Right, I'm just saying.
You're right. We don't know.
You've been doing this long, but probably when you weren't supposed to be doing it.
Oh yeah.
And you still get handed. You get your butt handed to you a lot of times. I have a lot of guys that are way more seasoned than you.
Sure.
And they tell me, my man, you got to do it this, you got to do that, and they still are under. You know, I'm like, hey man, if you've been doing it that long and you still can't win on a consistent basis, I'm not listening to you either.
Shout out to Jeff Walker, who's still sick, but listening clearly because he's texting, he's tweeting. Jeff's streak of locking in more when he's not here versus when he is continues. And I'm going to, just because everything is now quite public, we're going to let others that worked with him longer and closer talk about this throughout the day, but obviously really sad news about Pete Medhurst. If you're unaware, Pete Medhurst had a really rough fight with cancer and everything.
Very aggressive form.
Really went fast, and Pete Medhurst passed away. Obviously, did a tremendous job here at 106.7 The Fan and on Team 980, wearing a million different hats. All his work with the Naval Academy, all his work with the Nationals. There was nobody, I mean this, like, we work in sports media. I've met a lot of people that know a lot about sports. There's a lot of people that think they can match sports knowledge with others. There was nobody that could touch Medhurst. The encyclopedia and that brain, he could tell you the special teams coordinator at San Jose State. Mm-hmm. I mean, he could tell you anything. And certainly we're just sending the best to Pete's family and everybody that was touched by his work. We're thinking of you all. We'll be right back.